Welcome to the October edition of the IASB Update podcast. My name is Claire Short and I am part of the communications team at the IFRS Foundation. Today I'm joined by Sue Lloyd, Vice Chair of the International Accounting Standards Board and Executive Technical Director Neely Shah. It's a pleasure to have you both here today as we highlight the discussions that took place at the IASB meeting held virtually from the 27th to the 29th of October 2020. Neely, this is the first time we've had you on our podcast. Perhaps you can tell us a little bit about what you do in the foundation.
Sure, Claire, and thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. So very simply, I lead the technical staff supporting the board's work to a high quality and on a timely basis. And this can range between long-term strategic considerations, so thinking about the impact of financial reporting developments on the board's work, all the way down to just the day-to-day prioritizing and coordinating the many pieces of the board's standard-setting process to ensure that the work plan progresses smoothly and efficiently.
Thanks, Neely. And talking about the work plan, it's one of the topics that the board discussed this month. They heard three very important updates. Can you take us through the highlights, please?
Sure. So the first paper that we discussed on the work plan was a new paper that we're going to start providing on a 3 to 4 month basis that will be replacing the previous paper on research projects. And this paper is really just giving the board a holistic view of its work plan, the progress that's been made, and some potential changes to the work plan. And the reason that we're looking to do this holistically, as opposed to just focusing on the research projects as we've done in the past, is to help the board make decisions about adding, removing, and prioritizing projects. And this was particularly important for the October board meeting because, as we'll discuss in a few minutes, there were some new projects that we wanted to talk about, as well as the timing of current projects. So we wanted to make sure the board had that comprehensive look. The second paper that we talked about related to the board's work plan related to an update on the implications of the COVID-19 pandemic. Back in April of 2020, we had extended the consultation periods on a number of documents and postponed the publication of some forthcoming consultation documents because of the number of challenges that were being raised due to the pandemic. So at this meeting, we updated the board on developments, noting that COVID-19 challenges unfortunately persist, as well as some feedback that we had been hearing from stakeholders about COVID-19 coupled with the volume of consultation documents was causing challenges for them in trying to ensure that they had sufficient time to provide good feedback on all of the projects. So with this in mind, the board discussed potential changes to its work plan and decided to extend the comment period on its discussion paper on business combinations under common control to 270 days. It was previously 180 days and now it's been extended to 270. The other change that the board made was to defer the publication date of the exposure draft on management commentary to April 2021. So the project is still moving ahead, but just to alleviate some of the tension in all of the overlaps of the consultation documents, it's being deferred to April. And then the final paper that we discussed was whether to start the post-implementation reviews on IFRS 9 on financial instruments and IFRS 15 on revenue from contracts with customers. And the board decided that it would begin the post-implementation review of the classification and measurement requirements in IFRS 9 very shortly. And the next step will be for the staff to come back to the board with a proposal about the approach to the PIR. And most likely that will happen in December. The board also decided that it would start the PIRs of IFRS 15 and the impairment and hedging requirements in IFRS 9 at a later date, which is yet to be determined. So the goal here is we don't want to unduly delay these other PIRs, but at the same time, we'd like to make sure that we have sufficient to assess these standards.
Thanks, Neely. And on the topic of COVID-19, it was one of the topics under discussion at the recent IFRS Foundation virtual conference held in September. In light of this conference, board member Mary Tokar and technical staff member Sid Kumar have published an interesting overview of the key financial reporting considerations that may be on the minds of preparers, auditors, investors, and regulators as they tackle the complexities associated with COVID-19. In particular, the article looks at making estimates in this uncertain environment and also the importance of good disclosure. You can find that article on the News and Events page on ifrs.org. Neely, you mentioned that part of your role involves strategic considerations. The board this month discussed the topic of the agenda consultation, which is all about the board's strategic priorities. Could you fill us in on the background of this project, as well as some of the details shared with the board?
Sure, Claire, happy to. So the due process handbook requires the board to undertake an agenda consultation every 5 years. And the objective of the agenda consultation is to get stakeholder input on three areas, primarily the strategic direction and balance of the board's activities. Secondly, the criteria for assessing the priority of financial reporting issues that may be added to the work plan. And thirdly, the financial reporting issues that should be given priority. So we've already started the work on the 2020 agenda consultation, and the plan is to publish a request for information, also known as an RFI, in March of next year. And the purpose of this RFI is to get feedback from our stakeholders to help the board determine its priorities for the period 2022 to 2026. So at this meeting, the board discussed the types of information that should be included in the RFI to elicit the most useful feedback from stakeholders. And then at a future meeting, we'll discuss the due process steps that have been taken to develop the request for information and then publish, as I mentioned, in March of next year.
Thanks, Neely. Let's turn our attention to the technical topics discussed by the board. Sue, can you tell us more about the various projects?
Sure, Claire. So firstly, management commentary. So as Neely mentioned earlier, we've postponed the publication of the exposure draft on management commentary to April 2021. But at this meeting, we had an update on the project, which is all about revising the IFRS 1 Practice Statement 1 management commentary, that where we're trying to consolidate innovations in narrative reporting and address any gaps that we've heard about in reporting practice. So far in this project, we've discussed the objective of management commentary and the content areas that we intend to cover, and also the status of the revised practice statement and the procedures for companies issuing a management commentary. At this meeting, we looked at the guidance that will be in that document about long-term matters, intangible resources and relationships, and ESG matters. And we also talked about the likely effects of the proposals in the revised practice statement. So this is part of the work that we do when we put documents out, looking at the effects analysis, which is required by our due process handbook. So we had a discussion about the likely effects of the proposals to include in the document for comment. So we looked, for example, at the effects of the proposals, which are likely to improve the focus of information in management commentary and to promote the provision of company-specific information rather than more generic information. And also it was noted that it's hoped that the proposals would improve the quality of electronic reporting. We also, importantly, from a process perspective, gave the green light to the staff to say that they could begin the balloting process of the exposure draft. And we decided that we will talk about the appropriate comment period for the exposure draft at a later date when we're closer to publication, because we want to be able to sort of take stock of the COVID situation at that time and all of the other documents we've got out for comment to work out what would be the most appropriate comment period to ensure that we can get informed feedback on this important project. Moving on now to another one of the topics we discussed under the disclosure initiative, one of the sort of subtopics, if you like, are subsidiaries that are SMEs. This is part of the broader disclosure initiative, and it's a project where we're looking at developing an IFRS standard that would permit subsidiaries that themselves meet the definition of a SME to apply the full IFRS standard, so the normal recognition and measurement requirements, but to use a reduced set of disclosure requirements. We've been working on that for a while. And at the October meeting, we discussed a couple of sort of overarching issues, I guess, in relation to this project, which included the fact that we're going to propose that if a company does apply the reduced disclosure IFRS standard for SMEs that are subs, they should be required to disclose in their financial statements that they have done that, so that investors are aware of the disclosure requirements that they've applied when they've prepared the financial statements. And we also agreed that all of the disclosure requirements in IAS 8 should remain applicable to subsidiaries that apply the reduced disclosure IFRS standard. Nearly mentioned that we talked about a couple of projects that we might add to the work plan, and one of those was the equity method of accounting. This is something that's been in the pipeline for a while as a potential future research project, and that came onto the research pipeline after the 2015 agenda consultation. Now, the staff recently started doing some work on this equity method project, and at this meeting, they asked us to look at what the objective of the work should be. And we agreed that the objective should assess whether the application problems that have been identified with the equity method that's set out in IES 28 could be addressed in consolidated and individual financial statements by trying to identify and explain the existing principles in IES 28. The approach, I think, is quite similar to what we're doing with IES 32. For those of you who have been watching the FICE project, the Financial Instruments with Characteristics of Equity project, in that project, you might remember what we're trying to do is, rather than overhauling the whole standard, to look at some known application issues and to try to further expand on the ideas in IES 32 to solve them. Similarly, we're going to see if we can use the current concepts in IES 28 and maybe build them out in a few places in order to address application questions, rather than starting with a clean sheet of paper and thinking about equity method accounting from first principles. Moving now to maintenance and consistent application, always one of my favourites, as you know. So we talked about developments in that area. In July 2019, we published an exposure draft called Deferred Tax Related to Assets and Liabilities Arising from a Single Transaction. That exposure draft proposed amendments to the income tax standard, IES 12, which would require a company to recognise deferred tax on initial recognition of particular transactions to the extent that they give rise to equal amounts of deferred tax assets and liabilities. And what the heck does that mean? The main context here is really a question that came to the Interpretations Committee about how you account for deferred tax when you use the new leasing standard IFRS 16, where at inception you recognise both a right of use asset and an associated lease liability at the start of the lease. And this exposure draft was really explaining what you'd do in those types of circumstances. In April 2020, we discussed a summary of the feedback on the exposure draft, but we didn't make any decisions. At this meeting, following from a discussion on the same topic at the Interpretations Committee in September, the board tentatively decided to confirm the proposals in the exposure draft, to narrow the scope of the recognition exemption that currently exists, and to remove, though, the proposal that was in the exposure draft to limit the recognition of a deferred tax liability to the amount recognised for a deferred tax asset from the same transaction. And again, what does that mean? It's removing a proposal in the exposure draft that people thought was unduly making the proposals complicated. And so we're trying to simplify what was in the exposure draft while picking up the main idea that was in that document.
Thank you, Sue. Just to note that the board also discussed the extractive activities project and heard oral updates on the proposed IFRS taxonomy update, which is currently open for comment, as well as the status of the outreach on the dynamic risk management project. The staff told the board that the outreach on the dynamic risk management project is commencing. Initial feedback is being gathered about the core model that has been developed to give the board information to enable it to decide next steps on that project. You can find details on these in the full IASB update, which is published on our website, ifrs.org. Before we wrap up this episode of the podcast, I'd like to highlight a couple of other important news items from the past month. Some of you may recall that we bid farewell to board member Daryl Scott in our September podcast. Well, we've just published an article and a video of Daryl chatting to his successor, Bruce McKenzie, about his experiences on the board over the past 10 years. They talk about the importance of listening to the African voice in the board's work, what it's really like to engage with stakeholders remotely, and we hear Bruce's thoughts on what he is looking forward to most as being a board member. You can find the article on the news page of ifrs.org, and the video is available on the IFRS Foundation's YouTube channel. Then some important news from the trustees of the IFRS Foundation. At the very end of September, they published a consultation paper on sustainability reporting. This is separate to the work that the board is doing on management commentary and its agenda consultation. In the trustees' consultation, they are asking for stakeholder input on three important questions. Is there a need for global reporting standards on sustainability? Could the IFRS Foundation play a role in creating these standards? And what would this role look like? If you're interested in this project, visit ifrs.org/sustainability. The website also has information on how you can register to attend a live webinar featuring some of the trustees discussing the details of the consultation paper on the 17th of November. That's it for this episode of the IASB Update podcast. Thank you, Sue and Neely, for joining me today. To our listeners, you can find all of our podcasts on the podcast page of our website. You can find them on our YouTube channel and, of course, on your podcast player. If you have any comments on this podcast, please email communications@ifrs.org. Till next time, goodbye.